Sonia Polian.
Right, guys, this part of the show is called Ordinary People, and as always, I have somebody in the studio who is doing extraordinary things. And today, my guest is none other than Jamal Edwards. Yes, I said Jamal Edwards. He is a music mogul. Oh, sorry, let me just start that again. What? Jamal Edwards, MBE, baby.
Oh, man.
Right, so music mogul Jamal Edwards, MBE, was just 15 years old when he started out making short videos and messing about on his £200 video camera. Now 27 years old, he is the founder of video channel SBTV and a pioneer of the UK grime scene. He has achieved more at the age of 27 than most people can in their lifetime. Jamal is taking part in the AMX Fearless series, which celebrates the achievement of the nation's rising stars through their own unique and inspirational stories. Jamal, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. It worked, it worked. So Jamal, for our listeners who don't know you, I mean, I know that you know worldwide, okay? But just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, where you were born, what you aspired to be when you were younger.
So I'm originally from West London. Mm-hmm. The main reason for starting SB was because I felt like the artist that I wanted to feature wasn't mm-hmm. being represented on mm-hmm. mainstream media. So I thought, let me try and find a platform.
Yeah.
I saw YouTube and I started uploading videos to YouTube, and it just sort of snowballed after a little while. And my main thing was I was trying to find artists that mm-hmm. everyone didn't know about. And then when I found artists that everyone knew about, I tried to think, how could I be different with them?
Right.
And after that, it just kept on building and building and building mm-hmm. over the years. Yeah. So that's how it basically started.
Okay. So, but when you were at school, what did you aspire to be?
I aspired to be a footballer. Uh-huh. I wanted to be a footballer. I wanted to do something, a little bit of art.
Yeah.
I was also an MC. Uh-huh. I didn't really necessarily want to be a cameraman, director. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I just sort of fell into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you fell into it when you were bought a camera for Christmas?
Yeah, when my parents bought me the camera for Christmas.
Yeah.
I then started going out and filming. I was filming random stuff at first. I was just filming anything and everything. When my mum was making Christmas dinner, I was filming that. And mm-hmm. it was just like, I just had a passion for filming.
Yeah.
And I just tried to figure out, how could I better myself
mm-hmm.
when I was filming? And
yeah.
when I started filming, it wasn't something that everyone else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, yeah, this is something that I can do.
Uh-huh. And how long ago was it that you got that £200 camera? That sounds like an expensive camera, you know,
£200. Now cameras are like grand.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was like only one of the only presents that I got, because it was so expensive.
Yeah.
So
the only presents.
Yeah, it was about 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
Ago.
Yeah. So £200 in those days was quite a lot of money.
Yeah,
for
it was.
Camera.
It was like, you're getting that or that, basically. So yeah, that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. So your parents must have seen something in you for them to decide that they're buying you a camcorder.
Yeah, more than anything. Because first, I think they bought me for my birthday, it was like a SingStar mic.
Yeah.
And that's when I was just proper, I wanted to be an artist.
Explain to us what a SingStar mic is.
A SingStar mic is a game that used to get on PlayStation
where
I used to sing into it karaoke songs. So I took the mic and then I took like hangers. I did like my pop shield was like, I took the hanger, made it into a circle, took some socks, made that, covered it, and
uh-huh.
I tried to make tracks.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of tracks, what kind of music were you into?
All sorts of music, because my mum was a singer, so...
Is it?
My mum was a singer, so mm-hmm. it was all sorts of music, but mm-hmm. the music that I was doing was grime and rap.
Rap music?
Yeah, man was with Knox.
What does that mean?
that was his MC name, Knox, when he's gone.
Who, you?
No,
Kofi. Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Letting some secrets out there. All right, so you went on to get this camera and you worked wonders with it. So what about editing and stuff like that?
Through the editing, I learned that through YouTube. So mm-hmm. it was a lot of just tutorials mm-hmm. of me going online and then uploading the videos and then writing down what was wrong about it, what was good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on improving that all the time.
Yeah.
So some of the first video I uploaded wasn't as great as the last video I uploaded.
Yeah.
So I just always wrote it down. I had a big fat book, which it was like that thick of ways that I could export a video. But everything that I learned was through YouTube. And then I managed to get myself a job at BBC, which then taught me more technical side of filming and editing, which then improved my skill a lot more. So but when I first started, I learned it just off YouTube.
On YouTube. So listen, guys, if there's anybody out there and you don't want to go to college, like, YouTube has billions of tutorials, and Jamal is a prime example of how you can
proof of it. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, okay, so you started to load stuff onto YouTube, right? So how did you find the artists to interview? Because you wasn't interviewing artists who were famous. You were interviewing just like regular
mates,
friends.
It was a lot. It was a lot of me going around my local area in West London. I just knew a lot of people in West London anyway in school. And then once I started filming those people, I realised, all right, I filmed everyone in my area now. I need to branch out of Acton. Let me go over different parts of West London. So I started doing that. And then after that, I was like, all right, let me go East London, North London, South London. Let me go outside of London. And then it got to the point where, all right, let me try and get some celebs. Let me try and get some people that my parents would be like, oh, how the hell did you film them? So I think the first one that I got was Kelly Rowland. And I turned up outside a hotel. Me, found my presenter the day before, line piece of paper, my little camera, the same camera. And then I started filming people like that. And then once I started getting people like Kelly Rowland, I then went on to other people and said, oh, look, I've had Kelly on the channel. Can I get you on the channel? And I just kept on doing that and building it.
Saw Kelly, right? So she was coming out of a hotel room?
She was in a hotel room. And it was fortunate that I had a friend that used to look after her PR. Darren Dixon, legend. And I just asked him, please, just give me 10 minutes. Like, obviously, there's MTV. They've probably done like an hour. I was like, look, I've got my new channel. Please, give me the chance, literally begging. And then he gave me the chance, and that sort of helped me.
And how did you feel when you were interviewing her? Were you nervous?
No, so I didn't actually interview her. I was just filming. My presenter was probably a little bit more nervous. But yeah, I just had to make sure I kept the camera still. The video's still on there. It's funny. But old school, you've got to have that in your story, isn't it?
Exactly, definitely. So listen, we're going to take a short music break here. So if you need to go and get your tea, your coffee, your green shoes, your water, your lemon water, whatever it is, your hot water, hurry up and come back, because I've got Jamal Edwards in the house.
Sonia Polian.
Welcome back. This is Colourful Life, and I'm here in the studio. This is Sonia Polian. I'm here in the studio with Jamal Edwards, MBE.
Oh, and stop.
Receive it, man. Listen, you went to the Queen of... Is it Queen Prince Charles?
And you
accepted that award, right?
So
now you've got to wear it with pride, man.
Of course, but you say MBE.
MBE. Let's emphasise it.
Do you know what? It's mad. Because when I got the MBE, and then I got an MBA as well. So a Master of Business Administration from University of Bedfordshire. That was another. Sort of like, I'm just like collecting a name, collecting letters after my name. It's proper
that's
surreal.
Good. That's good. That's it's good. Surreal. That's good. Did you ever think that was going to be you one of those days?
No, never. No. And that's why I say anyone that's out there, you just got to. We're living in a day and age now where social media is so powerful. And if you've got a good idea and there's a gap in the market, there's no reason why you can't sort of get up and try and do a thing. 100%.
So let's go back a little bit. So your parents bought you this camera for Christmas, okay? And you had that camera up in everybody's face.
Pretty much.
Didn't it get on their nerves?
I was annoying.
What, like
I
your
always
parents?
Had a camera. I always had a camera. And even my mates were like, oh, Jamal's filming again. Do you know what I'm saying? So
it was my trademark.
Touch wood, no one ever smashed it, but it was my trademark. And if you want to be known for something, you have to do it persistently. You have to not stop. You have to breathe, eat, sleep with it. Absolutely. So that's how I treated my camera. So it never left my side. People took it seriously.
Did you ever lose it at any time?
I don't think I did. I think I broke it once, but it started getting old, so I had to upgrade it. But I saved the money, so I used to work in Topman. When SB wasn't really, I was just doing uploading onto YouTube. I needed to figure out another way to make money, so I got a job at Topman, and I used that money to get better lights, better sound equipment, improve my camera in little bits, get better lenses.
Awesome. And do you still have it now? I know you don't use it now, but do you?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. I've still got somewhere. All the tapes as well. I need to... Like,
so it's on a tape?
Yeah, it was tape. Yeah, that's how old school it was. That's how old school it was. So, yeah.
So do you transfer them onto...
So, yeah, oh, I don't even know how you do it now, but you have to probably put it in the camera and then plug the camera in USB, but I've got so much footage that, oh my God, I've said it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go through it one day because there's going to be a lot of gems.
Right. So listen to this now. So you're doing all these videos, you're interviewing fantastic people, right? How did you find, all right, you told us how you found Kelly Rowland, but how did you find a lot of other people, grime artists in particular?
Yeah, it was a lot of just going online and searching. I used to like look through people's videos all the time.
Yeah.
And if I liked someone, I used to get in touch with them. Uh-huh. And the thing about me is I didn't care if you had one view or 1,000 views, 100,000 views, or 1,000,000 views. Especially if you're unknown, I want to try and give you the platform to get you on a, get you much more out there to the public. So it didn't matter.
So how did you successfully do that? Because that's what you specialised in. That was your niche.
Unknown. So it basically happened when I was just uploading every day.
Yeah.
And then when I started uploading every day, that's where it just built an audience. And anything I used to upload, people used to either like it or dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
And the channel was basically based off my taste. So I was essentially putting the stuff that I wanted to view online, and if people liked it, they watched it, and that's how it built.
Yeah. So any of those non-famous people that you used to record, did their career take off in any way, shape or form?
I've featured people in the earlier stage, whether SB helped or not, or got them out a little bit further. There have been people in the past. Yeah. And I always want to try and carry that on and keep on building that, definitely.
And so what about YouTube? Because a lot of people make money from YouTube. How did you start to make money off of YouTube?
Not at first. I think I was one of the very first original music channels to break through those boundaries, because I got denied a YouTube partnership about 3 times. And it was just, I had to keep on going back and showing, look.
So you asked them?
Yeah. I had to apply for it. And then when I didn't get it, I was like, why am I not getting it? And I just kept on thinking of ways how I could get it. And then
once they don't tell you why they denied you? No,
not really. They didn't. Back in the day, it was such a new thing, and it wasn't, it was such an unheard thing for a channel like SB for to get it. Now you get automatic. But obviously there's been certain problems with YouTube and certain creators where they have to limit monetization in some parts, but it's much more easier to get your videos monetized, whereas back in the day when I was starting, I was like, I enjoyed Top Man, but I wanted to leave Top Man and focus on SB, but I couldn't focus on SB if there wasn't a income, monetary sort of return. So yeah, it was a long journey, but it was worth it.
Yeah. And so when you started doing your videoing, what did you envision? What was the big vision for the future?
I don't know. I think it was just hundreds of millions of views, and also putting the artist that wasn't necessarily known onto a big platform. I think that was my main focus.
Yeah.
And now it's even taken it even further. How can I take it further out of the UK?
Yeah.
Can I find even more artists? And can I help build their careers even more further than just featuring them on a channel?
So are you still doing that now then?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm doing it in a much more sort of different way. I'm helping them sort of put their tracks on the platform, music videos now, and just building much more of a longer relationship with the artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So you're affiliated to Amex Fearless Series. Tell us a little bit about what Aimless is about. Sorry, what Amex is about. Yeah.
So it's people that are fearless in going out there and doing their thing. So one of the things that when I started, I had a certain part of being fearless inside me, because I was going out there, I was going to different areas that I never knew, I was filming people, I was talking to people that I never have met in my life, and that has a part of being fearlessness, and this whole campaign was around figuring out what goes into being fearless, and that's what I got involved with it. There's like loads of stuff which obviously talk about other stuff, but I hadn't really heard of anything that sort of attacked fearlessness in this way. So I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah. And so are you an ambassador for them?
Yeah. So me and a few other people are ambassadors for it. And it was a fun shoot. It was good. And also I had a lot of feedback from people that have watched the video and be like, oh my God, I like that. I'm going to do this now. And if you can, that's one of my main things. If I can instill that in someone from the back of a piece of content that I've collaborated with a brand.
Yeah.
That's a gold tick for me, 100%.
So what kind of establishments do you go into to help people to come out of themselves? And because people have dreams, they have visions, but they are fearful. They think, oh my gosh, it's never going to work. What ifs? All the what ifs comes out, right? But you know, you had a reason. Your why has to be big enough, right? So what kind of establishments do you go into to reach these people, to get into their brain and let them know that, hey, listen, I done it, you can do it.
What kind of places I go into?
Yeah.
I go into all sorts of places. Yeah, schools, colleges. I've been into prisons. I've been into schools.
Yeah.
I've been into universities. I've been into workplaces, massive workplaces. And this is the thing, because I can't go into all of them, that's why I'm doing a video where it shows it's all about moving forward, unlocking your potential.
Yeah.
Which then that video that I did with Amex, it can go spread around there much more quicker than actually having me in a room.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'll try and do it as much. I literally got an email to go visit another prison soon. I'm going to try and sort that out. I'll try and do that every now and then.
Yeah. When you say prisons, is it like for young offenders or is it proper big?
So the one that I went to Felton was young offenders.
Right.
This one would be, I think, 18 plus.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I did before was... there was under 16 or thing, or no, under 18. So it's good to have like a diverse mix of things that I'm doing. I feel like it's equally as important as me running around filming an artist to be able to give inspiration back, whether it's through the videos or whether it's through me actually speaking to the people in the room. 100%.
That's awesome. And also, like, there's something about that personal touch. There's something about that personal touch. There's also, like, if you said you went to Felton, those guys will be looking up to you.
I want to see. I actually want to find out what they're up to now. But like, it was. I've never been inside a prison. Yeah. It was mad. It was just mad to be in there.
So it was a good little boy then when you were young, yeah.
Yeah. I was good. There were some things.
Yeah.
I haven't got that much of a colourful background, but no, there were some little things, but I think everyone has those hiccups and it's about how you deal with it and, and able to move forward. Yeah. Like, even though that I'm not going to let that define me to what I'm doing now, some people, things happen in the past and they define them. You should just like dust yourself off, get back up and go forward again.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. So this project that you're doing, the Amex Fearless series, right? It's a series. So tell us a little bit about the series, how long it's going to be lasting and where the campaign is going.
So we shot, it was me and a few other people, we shot our videos. They did some research which said like 86% of millennials are afraid to fail, but also millennials believe that failure is the number one reason that holds them back from achieving more in their lives. And for me, that ring true to me in terms of when I first started, it was like I didn't want to start SB. I didn't want to ask people for money, like ask my parents for money especially. It was like getting over that hurdle. And in my video I talk a bit about failure is a lesson learned, like you can learn from it. And then in other videos, other people have talked about how failure has helped them in their careers. So I think there was a series of us, four or five, and then it was collaborative with Huffington Post, and then we put the video up, and it was launched a little while back, and the videos are still online to go and see. So it's just an ongoing, it's an ongoing thing, so you can still go back and look online.
Okay, and what age group are you hoping to capture?
I want to capture all ages. I think this specifically was, is it 18? Yeah, it was millennials, so that's around the, so it's like, I think it's like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, like in that age bracket.
So
you want to capture millennials.
Yeah.
And that's my audience anyway, that view the content of SB and people that follow me as well.
Yeah. And for anybody out there who's listening who don't know what SBTV is, can you tell them what it is and what does SB mean as well?
So SB stands for Smoky Bars.
Smoky Bars.
Yeah, that was original. Now I say it's like self-belief.
Was that your name? name?
That was my MC name. Okay, yeah, yeah. So now it stands for self-belief.
Okay,
it stands for like loads of different meanings. Mm-hmm. And it's an online lifestyle music channel. Mm-hmm. The entry point is music, but it sort of spans fashion, comedy, sport, business. And it's based in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And has an audience. It has a global reach. The biggest audience is in the UK, but the second most viewed audiences in the United States.
Okay.
So yeah, that's fine.
That's, you know, America's like 52 times the size of us over here.
Yeah. It'd be mad. That's my next step. Is like Asia, America, Africa. 100%.
Okay. That's awesome. So Jamal, so what does the next 5 years look like for you?
I think the next 5 years for me is getting. It's still finding the artist, but also expanding the team. The next 5 years, I'd love to get to like a billion views, millions of subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to exec produce on a film.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to travel the world a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And also launch some new series,
mm-hmm.
but also A&R-ing personally. So me getting behind artists.
Hold on,
artist
what's A&R-ing?
So that's like artists and repertoires like... build, so getting a track, and then I might get the track, get a beat, and then get a rapper on it, get a singer in the hook, like actually construct a track from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I really want to get involved with, and it's always something that's been a big passion of mine. And I want to build on that, but essentially it's growing. I'm like 10 years deep in. It's carrying on what I'm doing with SB and taking it to the next level. So I've got certain things in place at the moment, which are happening now,
mm-hmm.
which will be more to the public knowledge by the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And then it will just carry on, hopefully growing from there. But I can't get complacent, because one day you're here, one day you're gone.
Yeah.
There's a new hot kid, there'll be always new hot kids on the block.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting a little bit old now. But I always keep my youth, my young.
Yeah, but
I always employ the next generation as well. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to empower the next. I had like a 14-year-old that wanted work experience the other day. I was like, yes, come in. So I just want to empower the youngers as well.
So do you have a building that you operate
in? Yeah,
in
central London. I've got an office,
So you do take work experience and people on apprenticeships?
So I did a Channel 4, which was a paid apprenticeship with Channel 4 for 2 years, where they came to work at SB and they did some at Box and they did some at 4Music.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing that, because you come in, you're going to get paid, you'll get your certificate at the end, which can help you in school. And you're learning a lot on the job as well. So I want to do much more of that in the future as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well done. So SBTV is in London. Mm. You have all these event services for younger people. So when you first started it, you said 10 years ago, to the people who follow you now, are they like loyal followers from those times there, and they've grown with you, or are they new people?
Yeah, they've grown with me. Definitely they've grown with me. When I was younger, the highest percentage was my age. So like now it's like 18 to 30 mm-hmm. is like the highest. And then it's 13 to 17, which is still high, but it's the next one down.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, they've grown with me. And then I've got new ways of how to get in the audience, a new audience in.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm currently doing, because it's all good people that have grown with me and they know about me. But I also want to get the people that don't know about me as well, because I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, everyone knows who I am. They don't.
Yeah.
So it's just about how I can sort of attack those areas as well.
Yeah. That's also, you've got to get into every bit of the market.
Definitely.
So Richard Branson said something about you, right? He called you the entrepreneur of this generation.
Yeah.
Right. Would you believe that, or...
Yeah, I
oh, you received that one, but you don't receive the MBE,
I received that as well. In life, I just gotta carry on. Like everyone that sort of comments, I take it, but I don't let it sort of get to my head.
Yeah.
Because if I'd be like, Sir Richard Branson said this, and I've got an MBE, and I've got an MBA. I'm cool, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's not practical, I don't feel. So
it's got to be balanced.
I've just got to be like, thank you, carry on. Do you know what I'm saying? And then it just keeps you grounded. And I'm not a person to get big head anyway. I've got a good circle of friends around me and that, so it's all good.
Uh-huh. Awesome. So if there's anybody out there who is struggling with their passion, because you're obviously very passionate about this and your passion has taken you to where you are now. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's out there and they've got, they may not be passionate about, you know, making music or cameras, but they're passionate about something, because we don't want their, we don't want the fear to grip hold of them, because they say what's fear is false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. So how would you, what words would you give them, of what words of encouragement would you give them?
So something I always say is that chase your dreams, not the competition.
Ah, chase your dreams,
not the competition.
Very good.
I'd say there are those who look at things the way they are and ask why, but I say dream of things that never were and ask why not. And then I think a simple is actually go on to Huffington Post and look at the Amex series, because I'm music, cameras, but there's Charmadine who's nails, there's another guy who's a chef, like there's so many different categories of people in there. So even if you're not into music or cameras or whatever, you'll find someone that you like or you resonate with. Alice Levine, who's like a Radio 1 presenter. There's like so many different people that are involved with the campaign that I feel like they should have a look at the videos and see if you can gain inspiration from that as
So tell them where they can go to look at that.
That's on Huffington Post. So if you just go and type in Amex Fearless series, Fearlessness series, on their site, it should come up. It should come up and you should be able to look through.
Right. Well, Jamal, I want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy, busy day to come down to Colourful Radio.
Of course, 100%. 100%. Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
All right, then. So listen, that's it for me, guys. Stay tuned to Colourful Radio. I'll be here same time, same place next week. Bye.
Sonia Polian.